Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest is a stand-up comedian, writer, and television producer and director. He's coming to Chicago at Thalia Hall in June. One of the best comics working today, Neil Brennan.
If you're under 25, you probably are in school or just got out of school. Student loan debt is awful. How many people have student loan debt? By round of applause? That's so many people. Well, first of all, college makes me insane because the fact that they charge one price at one college and another price at another college is so dumb because it's not like you're getting better facts. You know what I mean? It's not like if you go to a community college and take a history class, you're going to be like, well, the Revolutionary War started immediately after the Boston Tea Party, and at these prices, that's all the information we're willing to give you. Yeah, I was lucky enough to have dropped out. Because I realized early on that these student loans are basically small business loans, and the business is you, and you're maybe not such a great business. Look, if they call them small business loans, no 18-year-old kid would ever get the loan because it's a bad idea for a business. If you had to go to the bank to the small business desk and ask, be like, yeah, I'm going to need $150,000. They'd be like, all right, what's your business idea? All right, here's the idea. For the next 4 years, I'm going to get blackout drunk. But also, I'm going to get a degree in sociology. They'd be like, get the f*** out of our bank. You're like, that's fine, I will, but just know that I did have a way to pay you guys back. It's going to give you $80 a month for the next 240 years.
Brennan is known to many as the co-creator of the Dave Chappelle Show, but he's also a great stand-up, as evidenced by his Netflix special, Three Mics. He's also a successful television writer, director, and producer, working with shows like Inside Amy Schumer, The Daily Show, New Girl. It's contributed to Saturday Night Live as well. He's one of the podcast pioneers, the podcast The Champs with fellow comic Moshe Kasher, was one of the best of all time. Neil Brennan coming back to Chicago at Thalia Hall this summer, June 7th. Tickets just went on sale for the Here We Go tour. And here we go, Neil Brennan on the download. Neil, thanks for joining us.
Yes, good to be here. I'm glad that you mentioned. You can add actor to my list.
Yeah.
Like 2 days ago, I just did a movie with Tom Hardy.
No big deal.
It's a long story, but I was like, next thing I know, I was in a scene with Tom Hardy, and I had 16 lines, and it was like, okay. But I didn't freak out. So
I was going to say, there's a lot of people who might start their acting career a little lower down the totem pole.
I was in Half Baked 20 years ago.
Yeah, true.
I started there. And I've slowly worked my way up. Yeah. I took the long road to a Tom Hardy movie.
You grew up here, spent some time living in Wilmette. Do you hold any emotional place to come back to Chicago? Does it mean anything to you?
Yeah, well, my sisters are there, a couple of my sisters. My brother just moved. But I have a ton of family. And my aunt is there. My mom's there a bunch. She might be moving there. So you didn't hear that here. I can't start a big rumor. You know how the Brennans are. It's always fun to go back.
And do they come out to see you or at this point, because you tour extensively and you're everywhere, are they like, it's just Neil, he's on stage, doesn't matter?
No, people love a show. People love coming to a show. They love, like, I have to get tickets for my Aunt Eileen. She wants tickets. My mom's wondering how many she can have. So it's not, they're not used to it.
Yeah. Well, last time we talked in 2016, it was before you had your Netflix special, Three Mics. I remember being blown away by the Three Mics concept that was, it was on Meltdown, on the Comedy Central takeoff of the Meltdown comic. And seeing how it turned out and seeing how you developed it and made it into a special, are you surprised at how successful and how much it has become a part of your bio? The idea that this idea that seemed to be just a fun bit that you did on stage has turned into the thing Neil Brennan does?
I'm not that surprised, not in like an immodest way, but I'm not that surprised in that, like, there's so many specials now that somebody needed to do something in terms of like something different, you know? So I feel like, somebody needed to do something to stand out. Yeah. And that was the thing that stood out for me. Cause there are so many funny people now. And I'm not saying that like I say that with all respect. Like, it's, there's so many funny people, it's very, very hard to differentiate yourself. So I was happy to do it because I feel like it was really good for, like, mental health overall, for, like, I hate the term, for the public conversation. But it's been good. Like, I get DMs probably every day on Instagram of people saying how much it helped them and how much it meant to them, and it made them feel less alone. And this is, it's been out for more than a year. So that wasn't the intention, but that certainly was. I don't have any shame about mental health issues.
No. You know? To refresh people, it was this side, the three mics on stage, one for stand-up, one for one-liners, and one for emotional stuff.
Yes.
But the emotional stuff, and that's what really grabbed people's attention, because in the shortened version that you did on Meltdown, you were serious, but then it would quickly, you could go to the one-liner right after you're being serious.
Yeah, the serious interludes, they were almost like emotional one-liners. They
right.
were like, you know, 25 seconds, and then I'd be like, okay, let's get out of there.
Yeah, and then, but the specialist, especially stuff talking about your dad, and going 7 to 8, 10 minutes on a story where there are no laughs. This is storytelling at its best. It's emotional, it's real, it's raw. How do you develop that? Because as a stand-up, I would assume that every time you extend that story and it gets a little bit longer, you know, it's new, uncharted territory for you.
That was mostly just writing it and then telling the stories on stage. Like, I worked the show out a little bit in L.A. at Largo and in Montreal at the Just for Last Festival. And you just kind of see what the story needs and what's relevant to what, you know, it's like you can kind of feel when you're telling a story, like, what information do people kind of need at this point? And then I kind of did throw some jokes in there to some people's chagrin. Like, Chris Rock thinks that there's too many jokes in the serious mic, which is like, okay, that's a really nitpicking criticism, but God bless you. I don't want to say that there's no jokes in the serious part, but there's not, the per capita, it's way smaller.
Well, it seems to also be conversational in the way that there's just, you can't help but be humorous in the way that even when you're telling dark stories.
Well, that's exactly right. Like, I'm not going to not, I can still think of jokes even if I'm talking about my dad's will. You know what I mean? Like I'm not, if I can see a joke, I'll like pick it up, which is more, that's more how I am in real life anyway. That's how most of the comedians I know, when we talk, it's not like a laugh riot, you know, more just like a conversation. And then we'll go like, that's funny. Oh, that could be funny.
As a stand-up, as someone who started in the early 90s and, you know, has worked your way through on stage and also had such success on television, you go back to the early days of being on stage, and can you see an older Neil Brennan being able to pull this kind of thing off, to go on stage and not get jokes and to talk about your emotional life? I mean, I would assume that for a stand-up, it's almost anti-stand-up in the way that it almost goes against everything that you're on stage for in the beginning.
That's part of why I did it that way, because being glib for an hour just isn't that interesting. Meaning, it's just not that interesting to do. It's not that interesting to watch. There aren't very many, like, I can think of no one who's ever done a comedy hour where I didn't think they should have cut 15 minutes.
Right.
Richard Pryor, like, literally name them. And it's like, no, I could find 15 minutes you could cut and make that, like, a killer 45 or whatever. So that was kind of what so the stand-up part of Three Mics is probably only, like, 35 minutes. So that's, like, it's, like, in the drug game, it's not stepped on. meaning, like, it's pure uncut stand-up. There's no, like, cinema. I don't think there's, like, any B-level observations or jokes or filler or whatever. So, and then it is all, the progression to me is not, I've always kind of been a serious guy. It was just embracing it. It was embracing the part of me, like, I'm not the most fun performer in the world. So I had to explain, in some ways it was like explaining to people, like, why, like, hey, you know, I seem a little dour. Here's why. Now, having said that, having done that, I'm freer to be upbeat on stage, if that makes sense. Like, now, like, I did a show the other night in New Orleans, and like, it was like everyone there knew me.
Even about Thalia Hall, this idea of going on and now being in a position where you get up there and you're the stand-up comedian and you're back to the one format, one mic. Do you feel any different with the pressures of being emotional or being real, or are the audiences clamoring for tell me more personal
stories? As much as people are like, people really responded to the emotional part, I don't think anyone's going to heckle me to like, be sadder, you know. Why I went to Neil's show, not that sad. It's still, it's just now it's a guy that, a funny dude that you know a lot about. Like, that's how the show the other night felt. It felt like, oh, these people know me, and I kind of, by merit of them coming to the show, I kind of know them, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
By merit of, like, they responded to three mics, it feels like there's, like, an emotional demographic that I'm like, okay. There's certain groups that just respond to it.
I think about the world that you're in as well with podcasts and this idea that people come out and they feel like they know you more. And a lot of it has to do with that you're guesting on other people's podcasts and people come on your, and you're real. You're not doing bits. It's not like the couch on Jay Leno.
No, that's again, look, man, with the way media is now, especially the news, like no one is honest anymore. Like everyone is some sort of corporate chill, whether it's explicitly or tacitly, they're all like, everyone's sort of in the bag for somebody. And that's the great thing with podcasting is like, no one's there for any other reason than to communicate who they are and what their experience is. That's why podcasts are so popular. Like the sort of more newsy ones or the sort of, the TED Radio Hour, any of these things are more just about like digging down into an idea in a way that you can't really do in very many other formats.
Right, right.
But for the most part, comedy podcasts are mostly just comedians talking.
And it gives you more opportunities.
Sometimes it's funny and sometimes it's not.
And not to say we don't want it to be funny. It's funny organically because of the conversation that's happening between two comics who may have known each other. You guys know each other for, you know, you're working with somebody who you worked with back on stage. Does it give you more opportunities to show who you are, to make your stand-up more nuanced? You can have a better set because you have had success being honest, meaning whether it be in the podcast form.
Yeah, having said that, I think that people are more, they know, it's more about they know what they're going to get and what areas I'm interested in. I'm interested in gender, I'm interested in race, and I'm interested in politics. And that's kind of what my act's about. So if you know anything about me, you'll know, like, well, that's kind of all he ever talks about. That's all I've ever talked about. Like, literally, Chappelle's wife said 15 years ago, all you guys talk about are girls and work. No, girls were gender and work was race.
Yeah.
So, like, that's all I care to talk about. And so now, based on three mics, people feel like they really know me. And, you know, as Chappelle has said, like, you support your fans forever now. Yeah. Like, they're yours to lose. Having said that, I don't have very much personal stuff in the new, in Here We Go, but I think it's more, it's kind of more in my fiber now.
And I was going to say, people have so many ways to get to that other stuff through other forms of media you've been on.
Oh, yeah, 100 Champs episodes, and there's tons of other podcasts. I did Marin. I'm on Comedians in Cars, Getting Coffee in the next season, and like, there's plenty of me talking.
Neil Brennan is coming with the Here We Go tour, which will be this summer, June 7th at Thalia Hall in Chicago. Tickets just on sale now. Neil, can't thank you enough for taking some time out tonight to talk to us.
Oh, yeah, of course, man.
And good luck with the show.
Thank you. I would love for you to come.
Absolutely.
I mean that genuinely.
We'll be there.
Like, please do the thing that will get, they will tell me to put you on the list.
Sounds good. Good to know.
I'm going to cut off my Aunt Eileen and make room for you.
Good. I'll sit next to Aunt Eileen. I'll
talk to her. I hope you're happy. If this is what you wanted, then fine. You can have it.
Thanks, Neil.
If it's that important, all right, I'll stop you.